Boy, what an experience Alderman Jesse Fuentes has had from the 26th Ward. We'll let the Alderman, and I thank you for being here, Alderman, because I know that, or Alderwoman, I don't know which you prefer, but I do know that you, the story's got to be hard to tell, and you don't often make media appearances talking about specifically this. So I'm grateful you're here on WGN to talk about it. It happened on October 3rd, and at Humboldt Park Health Center, I believe, and I will let you pick it up from there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on the show, and good afternoon. You know, that day on October 3rd, I received a phone call from the president of Humboldt Park Health, who called me extremely anxious and upset because ICE agents were in the emergency room. And hospitals are supposed to be places where patients feel safe to receive medical attention and not be fearful that ICE agents are going to pick them up and take them away. Well, I made my way to the hospital and supported the president, and I simply asked the ICE agents if they had a signed judicial warrant. I didn't impede on the arrest. I wasn't trying to speak to the individual that was currently being detained in that emergency room. I was simply asking the officers if they had a signed judicial warrant. As you see in the video, they met me with a lot of aggression. What you don't see is that I'm actually shoved twice by the same agent that pulls me to handcuff me. It's what prompted my staffer to take out her phone and start recording. They detained me for a short period of time. They take me out of the emergency room. They call for Border Patrol backup. And it was in that moment where we all begin to debate if I'm going to be arrested or not. I think several important things happened. I continue to exercise my rights to ask questions, but to more importantly, re-articulate the events that happened. I was very clear, the agents. I didn't do anything wrong. I had only asked if he had a signed judicial warrant. And we had people, hospital staff, patients, and community out there with their phones recording. It was at that moment the Border Patrol asked for them to release me from those handcuffs and threatened that if I ever returned to the hospital, that I'd be arrested.
What? That last part I didn't know, but let me back up a little bit to concur or verify what you're saying. So had this been 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I suppose, Alderwoman, it would have been your word against their word. But today, we have multiple videos that demonstrate you were, by the way, very calm and kept repeating, insistent, though, where's the warrant? What is this person being arrested for? And you were met with aggression. I mean, you can see that on the video. What I didn't know was the threat that an elected official or anyone, any member of the public, it's not their hospital. How can they threaten you with don't come into the hospital again? I don't even, some of this I don't even comprehend happening in America.
Absolutely. And that's the problem that we're seeing, not just in the city of Chicago, but other cities like L.A., Portland, now in New York, where authoritarianism is running rampant in our city. And we have militarized federal agents in our city to violate people's constitutional rights and kidnap our neighbors. The threat of arresting me for going back into the hospital or them being in the hospital alone should not have happened. These are institutions that should be safe from the militarization of federal agents trying to detain people. And let's be clear, they should have had a judicial warrant despite the sort of narratives that have come out. That individual that they detained in the hospital not only had temporary protective status, but did not have a criminal record and was picked up at a work site without being asked what was his name, without being asked for any identification. Now his leg has been completely shattered. He's had two reconstructive surgeries. He is still in the hospital and will now not only have to fight for his health and his leg, but will have to fight the system that completely violated his constitutional rights.
Now, this was October 3rd. He is now still in the hospital. That is unfortunate to hear. None of this would have happened to him. He was injured in a chase, was it? Do you know?
That's correct. He was injured in the chase by federal agents.
Now, I understand you are saying, you know what? I'm speaking up about this in court, and you're asking for damages?
That is correct. So we filed a federal torts claim because the federal government is exempt from suit. And there's only one loophole. And the loophole is through a federal tort claim that allows us to pursue for civil damages. And so the claim itself asks for about $100,000. But I want to be clear. It's not about the money. It's about raising awareness. It's about ensuring that we are challenging these individuals. And because we cannot sue the specific agents, because they do not have their name, nor were they wearing identification, we don't have badge numbers because they don't wear those either, right? So we have to sue their employer. So we're suing Homeland Security.
Good luck with that, I suppose. I don't know how that pans out. The other question I have is, you and, you know, all of the Chicago Alder people and mayor don't agree on everything. That's an understatement, isn't it? But I suspect you all feel the same or similar frustrations about what's happening now.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think an overwhelming majority of us are completely frustrated that we have residents in the city of Chicago that are living in an immense amount of fear. Look, just this morning in Albany Park, we had several federal agents that were pulling people over without any sort of probable cause, pulling people out of their cars, hitting people with pepper bullets, tear gassing commercial corridors, and detaining several U.S. citizens. Can you imagine living in a city like Chicago, one of the largest cities in the country, and that you still have to fear for your life and wonder if you're going to be taken by federal agents for no reason at all?
You know, I am not, and I'll share something personal with you. I'm not Hispanic, but I'm told that I can be mistaken, and I have been. I mean, people who speak Spanish, and I speak a little, very little Spanish, have come up to me over the course of the past couple of years especially and asked me, oh, where is that bus going? How do I get to here? You know, those kinds of things as a complete stranger. And I can answer in my third grade Spanish just fine. I am told, because that is the appearance of myself, I should bring identification with me no matter where I go, even if I go out for a run. I refuse to do that. I feel that is crazy. But yet, that's what I'm being told. And, you know, the marathoners were all told to carry identification. I mean, that this is happening in our city just strikes me as shocking.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think I'm one that battles quite a bit on whether I should be carrying a passport or not, right?
Right.
It's the thing that we are seeing. We are watching these federal agents pull people out of vehicles and not asking for identification at all. And then they're leaving these vehicles completely abandoned in the middle of the street with keys still in the ignition. People can not only lose their identification, they can lose possessions like a vehicle, things that get them around, right? Because we have watched federal agents create chaos in our community. And so if folks are wondering if they should be carrying around identification such as a birth certificate or a passport, I highly recommend that people carry copies and not the actual documents themselves. One, because we're not seeing these federal agents truly ask for these documents when they detain people, right? There's a sort of like handcuffing and zip tying. People are throwing them in vehicles without asking for any identification at all. People are being picked up because they look Latino, they look Spanish speaking, or they are Spanish speaking. And so I want to make sure that people are not carrying documents and losing them in what can be such a chaotic sort of event, and that they can keep themselves and their property safe.
Good idea to carry copies. So I want to talk about the city budget. I want to talk about CTA. There's news there, and it might be, I think it is, it probably is, it could be, good news. And we'll hear more from the alderman when we come back on WGN. From the 26th Ward, it is Alderman Jesse Fuentes, has certainly been in the news lately for reasons that she didn't expect to be, being detained by ICE. However, there's lots more to talk about in Chicago. One is, what the heck is going on with the CTA? So it looks like it's good news, Alderman, that the CTA is going to not fall into this financial cliff, or as I call it, a canyon. Is that the case? Is the governor going to sign this bill that is going to supply aid to the CTA? And is it enough?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, both chambers passed the transit budget, $1.5 billion to the entire RTA region. Look, it's a great set of news that we received this morning. People rely on transportation, whether that is to pick their children up to school, go to work, to do groceries. We need reliable transportation in the city like Chicago. We should be calling our state reps and our senators to thank them for their hard work, for ensuring that they could deliver transit to the city of Chicago.
So it is going to happen. So that is good news. Is this enough relief, though? Do you see that? Well, a couple of questions. First of all, it is interesting that ridership over the past couple of months, very recently, has gone up considerably. What do you attribute that to? And do you think we're going to have to pay more money now to ride the red line, the brown line, the blue line, or any of the CTA buses, et cetera?
Well, look, ridership increases can be attributed to many different things. But look, I'll tell you right now, it's extremely expensive to own a car. Gas prices have not gone down, despite what Donald Trump and his administration have said. Insurance costs have gone up tremendously in the last year and a half. People are finding ways to get across the city that does not break their bank accounts. And so people are depending on a reliable transit system. And CTA has done an amazing job at making sure that we can continue to improve our transportation. Now we have a long way to go. We have to make sure that transportation is safe, that it's reliable, that it's consistent, that we don't have ghost buses and trains. But look, we have made some significant improvements in the last year post-COVID-19. And we're going to continue to invest in those improvements so that people in the city of Chicago can rely on our transit system. I believe that we are seeing those increases because it is the most affordable way to get around our city. And we need to keep it that way. Now, $1.5 billion investment in RTA is a huge investment. I hope that investment comes with still allowing people to ride our transportation at the most affordable rate in which we see it today. We know that a lot of fees and fines were increased in the budget as a means to increase revenue to support this budget bill.
So the budget, so to be clear, the budget does include more costs for ridership?
No, the budget looks at other revenues in the state budget,
right,
and increases different revenue streams that are not fares for buses and trains per se, right? It is other fines and fees that were increased to increase revenue to support CTA. So as of what we've heard this morning, there have been no increases to the fares that people would have to pay themselves, right? We've seen things like higher tolls in the state of Illinois, things like a new sales tax in the state of Illinois, in order to support the RTA budget that was passed this morning.
Do you think, though, that the RTA is going to need in the future to do a better job so we're not depending on this bailout? And also, riders are going to push back who never take the CTA. Why am I paying more for tolls for people who take public transit? And I take public transit all the time, but I understand that argument, Alderman.
Yeah. Well, look, in the city of Chicago, we have an immense amount of city services, right? Everything from public transit to public housing to cutting your trees and plowing your sidewalks and sweeping them. That means that we need revenue to come in so that we can support the very things that our constituents not only love to enjoy, but need and deserve. And I think that we need to continue to look at what revenue sources that we can pull, whether those are levers we pull at the city level or the state level that are not regressive, right? To your point, some people may be upset because tolls, an increase in tolls or an increase in sales tax can be regressive to your everyday constituent. But how do we look at progressive sources of revenue that do not impact your average day person? I think that the state and the city are still looking at what are progressive revenue sources that we can pull so that we can have the money that we need to come in so that we can outpour into the resources that make people love the city of Chicago. Let's be clear. People love the city of Chicago because of our public transit system. People love the city of Chicago because of our city services and our robust business districts. That requires us to have good revenue streams. And so we have to continue to be creative in how we're able to support these services moving forward.
Alderman, we have literally about a minute left here, but I can't let you go without asking about your opinion, what you think of the mayor's proposed budget.
Well, look, we're still in budget season. I'm working hard every single day to take a look at every single line item in terms of what our departments have put forward. But I'll tell you this much, I stand encouraged. Because we cannot continue to bring in revenue sources that impact our everyday residents. Look, a property tax in this moment can hurt some folks. We have to look at all revenue streams. His corporate head tax allows us to tax the richest corporations in the city of Chicago, making sure that folks can pay their fair share. We're looking at a smart tax for social media. Now it's the first of its kind, and we're still looking at if it has legs. Now, I cannot say that I'm a gung-ho yes, but I'll tell you this much. I'm encouraged. I'm excited to see a budget proposal that doesn't put this deficit on the backs of the working class people in the city of Chicago. Now, as a good legislator, I'm going to continue to do what I have to do, and that is to make sure that I'm reaching out to our department heads, that I'm looking at the budget line item by line item, that I'm understanding if all the things that we are proposing here have legal legs and if we could defend it in court. But nonetheless, I'm excited for what it means to pass a budget that keeps the quality of services, keeps our labor and workforce, and can bring in revenue so that we can continue to grow as a city.
Alderman Jesse Fuentes, 26th Ward, thank you so much, and I wish you well.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.